Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Firefighters on the Munson Creek wildfire near Chena Hot Springs are taking advantage of cool, wet weather to make progress towards stopping the blaze. Over 100 people are battling the more than 25,000-acre fire.
You know, working long days, and they're gonna get after it here while they can.
State Forestry spokesperson Tim Mowry says the weather is allowing direct attack on the fire's perimeter around Chena Hot Springs Resort and along Chena Hot Springs Road, but he stresses it's tough going.
It's not a square by any means. It's a blob with fingers, you know, extending out in different directions. And some of the terrain is very steep, and it is really difficult to put any line there. And the fire is big enough now, you're not going to put a line around that whole fire.
Mowry says work is also progressing on installation of pumps, hose, and sprinklers to protect structures along the road and the Chena River.
They set everything up, get it in place. They'll go back and test it every few days to make sure that everything's functioning properly. And if the fire does come down that hillside and threaten those cabins, they just go in, they turn on the sprinklers, the pumps, and it just wets down the whole area.
Mowry says 72 structures, everything from outhouses to homes, had been set up with sprinklers as of Tuesday. He says the Munson Creek fire is expected to revive next week when warm, dry weather is forecast to return. An evacuation order remains in effect from Chena Hot Springs Road, mile 45 east. All state parks facilities in that area are closed, but Chena Hot Springs Resort continues to operate. A group of eight legislators aiming to recommend long-term changes to balance the state's budget met for the first time yesterday. KTOO and Alaska Public Media report that working group member Palmer Republican Senator Shelley Hughes spoke at the meeting at the Anchorage Legislative Information Office, saying the group's recommendations hinge on gaining the support of legislators from all parts of the state.
We want to put forward an actual workable, realistic package, build around consensus that will get the needed votes. And that's no easy thing, as we know, for the past 6 years.
The state has been spending much more than it raises in revenue since oil prices fell back in 2014. The working group may consider changing the formula for setting the amount of the annual permanent fund dividend check, lowering the maximum amount that the state government can spend, implement new taxes, or raise existing ones. And it may recommend that the changes be made in state law or through amendments to the Alaska Constitution. Legislative leaders' goal is for the working group's recommendations to be presented to the entire legislature for the next special session. Lawmakers have been unable to reach agreement on major changes to issues like the permanent fund formula. Several task force members emphasize the importance of compromise. One of the group's co-chairs, Bethel Democratic Senator Lyman Hoffman, noted that legislative leaders are committed to having each chamber act on the group's recommendations. Hoffman, who is the longest-serving legislator in Alaska history, talked about the challenges the legislature has had in proposing amendments to the state constitution.
I would like to remind the people of Alaska, the House of Representatives and the Senators, and especially the members of this committee, we have the opportunity to have the battle. We may not all win it, but at the end of the day, we should accept what the work has been done.
The group's eight members are split equally between the four legislative caucuses. Hoffman said the group may meet as frequently as twice a week beginning next week. The next meeting was tentatively set for Tuesday in Anchorage. Hoffman said future meetings could be held in Juneau, Fairbanks, and the Mat-Su. Housing is tight in the Fairbanks North Star Borough in spite of a plan to expand options to accommodate new F-35 personnel at Eielson Air Force Base. A 2017 report on anticipated growth guided a lot of new development, but Borough Mayor Bryce Ward says more is needed, especially near the base. KUAC's Robin reports.
Ward took a look back at a 2017 report on what the area would need for more housing with new F-35 squadrons being assigned to Alaska.
Here's what was initially projected in 2017, 1,354 personnel assigned to Eielson Air Force Base as part of the F-35 mission.
The report published by the Office of Economic Adjustment, now known as the Office of Local Defense Community Cooperation, used a multiplier of 1.3 to calculate dependence in trying to anticipate the impact on local schools and roads. The report found the need for about 1,000 new homes before all the Air Force folks moved in.
Preference for housing was in the 99705 area. This proved to be true with about 86% of what we've seen so far for incoming personnel. Between 2017 and 2020, as a community, we did respond. We had exceeded the forecast for new construction in the North Pole area and the Salcha area.
In April 2020, Eielson Air Force Base received its first F-35A Lightning IIs and now has two full squadrons of the aircraft, 54 in all. Bringing the F-35s to Eielson required huge investment and a lot of new construction on and off base. Ward says more than 1,200 new homes were built in the last 4 years, primarily near the base.
In 2021, we're still learning.
He says several key factors have changed the private sector's ability to provide housing since the forecast from 4 years ago. One is that there are fewer families than predicted.
We've seen a higher percentage of singles than forecasted, 58% versus the 46%. This has implications for the housing eligibility on base. Eielson is now re-ranking some of their on-base housing to allow for some of these folks to live on the installation.
There are also 110 more civilians than what was initially projected in 2017. Based on the newest data the borough has collected from the Air Force. Ward says there's also housing pressure from Fort Wainwright.
Quality of life improvements on the dormitories means that these units are being renovated. Over the past year, about 300 soldiers have been given authorization to live off the installation.
Other pressures on the housing supply in the interior are the cost of lumber, which has jumped as much as 40%, and rental rates, which have gone up between 9 and 11%, depending on the type of housing. The vacancy rates are the lowest they've been in years, 6% for Fairbanks and 10% for North Pole.
So where do we go from here? There's about 283 more personnel slated to come to Fairbanks as based on the F-35 mission for a full build out. These folks are expected to be here within the next 6 to 8 months.
Ward is asking landlords, especially those in the 99705 area, to contact the base if they have vacancies. And he wants builders and developers to share their plans for the remaining 2021 season. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The pandemic interrupted some food shipments to Alaska grocery stores last year, pointing to the vulnerability of Alaska's outsourced food supply. Now, a Homer-based nonprofit has made recommendations on how American Rescue Plan Act funds could be used to address the problem. KDLL's Elizabeth Earle reports.
One of the recommendations from the Food Policy Council is to invest in cold storage, particularly in rural areas. Expanding infrastructure like cold storage would allow for more fresh produce to make it to areas that may not have access to it now. Another recommendation is to invest in local food purchasing programs, where the state would provide funds to food banks to purchase locally produced food and distribute it. Other recommendations include investments in food system workforce development, transportation, improvements to importing livestock, in-state poultry production, and kitchen, manufacturing, and processing facilities. All are linked to the funding that could come to Alaska from the American Rescue Plan. For KDLL, I'm Elizabeth Earle.
World Cup cross-country skier David Norris of Anchorage won the Mount Marathon trail running race in Seward yesterday. Norris, who grew up in Fairbanks and also won the race in 2018 and 2016, bested two out-of-state rookies by over 2.5 minutes to cement this year's title in the arduous up-and-downhill 3-mile race. On the women's side, Seward's Hannah LaFleur claimed her second Mount Marathon crown, finishing ahead of Ruby Lindquist of Moose Pass and Christy Marvin of Palmer. LaFleur's other Mount Marathon win was in 2019. Last year's race was canceled due to the pandemic, and as a COVID-19 precaution, this year's Mount Marathon was held midweek instead of on the traditional July 4th date to discourage the large crowds which normally gather in downtown Seward for the event. And Dan Bross.